The world will end someday. This morning, as I thought about the message, do I want to scare the hell out of you? Yes, I do. All right? As I thought about the message, do I really? I want to ask you a question. Are you ready? Someday, listen, someday the trumpet will sound. That eerie feeling you get when you walk out that door someday, you go, could this be the day? That day will be someday. Are you ready? We grew up as kids, at least I remember, and I see it in TV now. I watched it last night again. There's these little six words at the end of the stories we heard over and over as children. Those childhood stories we heard. Anybody remember those last six words? And they lived happily ever after. Here's my question. Will you be happy in the ever after? Will you be happy in the ever after? Someday the trumpet will sound and someday God is coming back. Are you ready? That's what I want to share this morning. I want to encourage you to open your worship folder up, pull out the outline this morning. Lots of scripture, small print. If we need more light, let me know. I'll get them to turn it on, but I kind of wanted it dark in here because I want you to think about it. I want you to think about, are you ready? Last week, I shared with you how crazy all these ideas is, whether it's 2012 or when I was a kid, it was 1975, then it was 76, then it was 81, and then it was 86. I heard all these things. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you there will be a day when this world closes down. There will be a day when it is all over. And so as you look at your outline, I want to put it this way. We are in the last days. As a pastor, I frequently get the question, are we in the last days? Are we in the last days? Well, I want to tell you something. We're in the last days. All right? But here's the challenge. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years nearly. All right? We've been in the last days. Because see, here's God's time schedule. Remember last week I told you that my encounters kind of had a circle. You know, they had the 5,124 days, and they circled those five times, and then this, they had it all circled. God has a very linear calendar. Anybody know what linear means? Straight. It's just going straight. God's calendar had three sections in it, all right? A straight line for God's calendar with three sections. Had the outline in the beginning that says from the time when Jesus and the creation of the world to when Jesus was born. Straight line, right to that point. Jesus was born. 33-year section, Jesus' life. His death, burial, and resurrection. And then he ascends into heaven. Time period. And now, the last time period started with the ascension of Jesus Christ. All right? There's a prophecy in the book of Joel, and then Peter, after Jesus ascended, Peter's preaching and teaching. And the people are starting to wonder what's going on because they seem to be filled with the Spirit and they spoke in all these different languages. And I want that verse. I want you to hear what that verse says. And it's a quote from the Old Testament. Like I say, three time periods. This is a quote from the Old Testament. Look at the scripture. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning, all right? It's not late enough to be drunk yet. I don't know. I see people drunk all the time, so I don't know if that matters. No, this is what has spoke. This was what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, circle that. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Peter is saying, this prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus is in heaven. We are in the last days. I want to share with you, the last days began when Jesus ascended into heaven. That's it. We entered the last days of this world. It was all anticipating Jesus coming. It was the glory of Jesus being here on earth in the flesh. And then when he ascended into heaven, we entered the last days. There will be a day, and all those pictures I showed up there and we've seen up there, there will be a day when this world is burned up. There will be a day when this world is all folded up. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know when. But there will be a day. We are in the last days. Look again at God's word. But in these last days, circle that again, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. We are in the last days. He spoke to us, and we see Jesus. These last days are all about Jesus. All right? There is a time when this world will come to an abrupt end. All right? We are in the last days. What's interesting is not only are we in the last days, I thought this was good. Look at this. Dear children, this is the last hour. Circle that one. This is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, everybody keep hearing the same. We got to wait for the Antichrist. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know we're in the last hour. This is still in the first century. This was probably written somewhere before the 100 AD. So before 100 AD, they're already saying, we're in the last hours. But if they were in the last hours, I think, what, we're in the last minutes or seconds? I don't know. You know, if they're in the last hours 2,000 years ago, we're a lot closer than they were. You know, this world will end someday. Someday this world will end. But the challenge is, I want to make sure you know, I put the scripture last week, I'm going to throw it up here again this week. No one knows. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. No one knows. I'm not going to stand up here and pick a date, all right? I'm not going to do that. I don't know. But here's what I do know. It will end. I'm going to tell you what I do know, and we're going to look at that this morning. I do know someday this world is going to fold up and it's all over. Now, when that day is, I don't know. And if anybody wants to prophesy about that, here's the thing. It says no one knows. And when somebody thinks they know, and I love God's word, because when it says, you know, if you're a prophet and you claim to be from God and you get it wrong one time, you forfeit your life. I love this. I watch History Channel and all this, and they're talking about all these prophecies and all, you know, all these things going on. Anybody remember a lady named Jean Dixon? Anybody my age? Come on now. Some of you older ones, raise your hand. All right. Some of you young ones, who's Jean Dixon? Jean Dixon was some woman who prophesied. All right. And she wasn't even right 50% of the time, and she was supposed to be really good. Well, according to God's law, the first time she missed, she wouldn't even be here anymore to have a second chance. Yeah. You have to be right 100% to be God. You read the Bible, it's 100%. Everything it said, it's happened or it's going to. Now, my understanding, and it's real simple, that all the prophecy, everything has happened. We're in the last hours. I believe that any moment now, till whenever God decides, you could hear a trumpet and Jesus is here. I mean, are you ready? There will be a day that the trumpet sounds. I want you to look at the scripture. I challenged you to read some scripture last week. This is a rather long passage, so we're going to kind of walk through this. But this is a great passage that talks about the end of the world and what's going to happen and what to anticipate. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. See, I'm going to stop right there. In the church, they were really thinking Jesus was coming back now, immediately. They kept waiting for him, and they kept looking for Jesus' return. And he hadn't came back, and their friends were dying. Their brothers and sisters in Christ, their fellow Christians were dying. And it's like, well, what's happening? If they're not alive and Jesus comes back, what's going on? And they begin to have some concern. And Paul sits here and says, now, wait a minute. Let me tell you. Let's get this clear. Don't be concerned about this. I don't want you to misunderstand anything. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. Don't have hope. Don't have sorrow as those who have no hope. Because what he's talking about there is hope. And we're going to get into that this morning. All right? So he's saying people are dying, but don't worry about it. God's got it covered. God's got everything all worked out. Don't worry about it. Let's see what God has worked out. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe. Anybody believe Jesus died and rose again? Easter's coming, isn't it? Yeah. Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus all who have fallen asleep in him. When Jesus comes back, he's going to bring with him all those who have passed away. Anybody who has died before that time, like if it was to be today, when he comes back, my grandma, my grandfather, all there would be a great reunion in the sky. That's what it's saying. He's going to bring all those back with him. They're with him now. There's this thing out there. Again, this is a good time for me to teach something. There's a thing out there called soul sleep. Anybody ever hear something talk like that? That when you die, you stay in the grave until Jesus comes. Is that what it said? I thought it says he's going to bring them with him, didn't it? And so you're already, when you die, absent from the body is present with the Lord, is what the scripture says. The guy on the cross that was next to Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus tells him, today, he didn't say when you, after soul sleep, you'll join me in heaven. He says, today you will be with me in heaven. And so when Jesus comes back again, all of those who've preceded us, who have chosen to be a child of God, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, who had crossed that line and said something along this line, you know where I'm going. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. When you cross that line, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. You know, I told you I'm going to see my grandma and my grandfather. I don't know about some others I'm going to see. I'm not sure. I can't say where they're at. They're in the hands of a just and righteous God is what I say. I got a brother. I don't know. Now, I know where my grandma is and my grandfather and some others are, but I'm not sure. But I'm not going to condemn them. I'm not the judge. And I trust a just and righteous God to take care of all that. And I depend on him. But someday, he's going to return. And when he does, he's going to come with him. And then it goes on, according to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left, left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have passed away. See, they're going to come with him. And then it's our turn. Look at what it goes on. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. All right? When you hear the trumpet, this is what this verse says. When you hear the trumpet, it's over. All right? Don't pack your bags. Don't run back into the house. Don't try to go anywhere. It's over. All right? Just go out there and say, okay, let's go. All right? God's going to come back. You know what he's going to shout? Get up. You're going up. That's it. I mean, you know, he's going to shout, get up, let's go. You know, it's over, it's done. All right? When he comes, the trumpet's going to sound, and he's going to shout, it's time to get up because you're going up. You know? Look what he says. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Why do they come first? I heard this week. You know why they come first? They need a 6-foot head start. I was wondering if it's kind of dry humor or not. I was wondering if you guys would get that one or not. They're 6 foot down, okay, just some of you. You know, okay? All right. After that, we who are still alive are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. These are encouraging words only to those who know Jesus. All right? I want to make sure you get this picture here. I'm going to tell you, to get up and preach about the end of the world to those who do not know Jesus Christ can be a scary place to be. This is where I want to scare you out of hell. We live forever. Once you are born, you will live forever. You only live here on this earth for whatever amount of years it is, 60, 70, 80, 90, I don't know. You'll only live here so long, but you will live for eternity. The question is, where do you spend that eternity? And what Paul is sitting here saying in these verses is, when you know Jesus Christ, you have hope. You have hope because there's a place called heaven. That when that trumpet sounds and the call comes down to get up, you're going up and you're not going down. I've never forgot, I was with Bill Sims. Some of you don't know, but Bill was an evangelist and we ran around together. I really enjoyed Bill Sims. And we're down in Pasadena at a conference. And we get in an elevator, and we're standing in the elevator, and a guy gets in, and the guy goes, oh, man, it's going up. And Bill goes, you want to go up. You don't want to go down. And begin to witness to the guy. Because I'm going to tell you, you don't want to go down, all right? You don't want to go down. You want to go up. When he says get up, you want to go up. And it's your decision. Nobody can make it for you. Nobody can twist your arm. You have to decide. All right? So when Jesus comes back again, he's going to say, get up. And we all get up. And at that point, see, when you die, you go to heaven. You don't have your eternal body yet. Look at what the scripture says. Here, let me get this straight for you. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This body we're in can't live forever. I don't know about you, but mine hurts sometimes. All right? Mine gets sick. You know, I have aches and pains. It's getting bigger in certain places. You know, I want a new one. Anybody else want a new one besides me? You know, I'm ready for one now, but I don't want to get it yet. All right? We're going to get a new body. All right? It can't live, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all, it says, sleep, pass away. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye. 1/100,000th of a second. All right? Now, that's, I don't know about you, that's pretty quick. All right? At the last trumpet, hear the trumpet again. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal. I get a whole new body. A body that will not perish, a body that is immortal, no more aches, no more pains. I get a new body. I don't know what kind of body it is. I wish I had an answer for you. I know you don't need to see a doctor anymore. Yeah. I know you got this perfect body, you know, and it's not tin or anything like that. It's a perfect body. I'm going to have my six pack and, you know, and I'll look good. All right. You know, I don't know. It's not a ghost. This is some things I want to make sure I cleared up for you. When you die, you do not become a ghost, okay? All right? Some of you might want to come back and haunt your spouse. You're not going to get that chance, okay? You got to do it now. Don't wait, because you're not going to get that chance. You want to haunt them now, not later, because it's not going to happen. You will not become a ghost, all right? You do not get wings, all right? You do not become an angel. You're not going to float around on some cloud playing some harp, all right? That's not what you become. You get a new body. You get a new body. It's imperishable. It's immortal. It knows no pain, no sickness, no disease. It lives forever. It's a body that, for me, I kind of look at Jesus when Jesus came back. Well, he walked the earth after his resurrection before he ascended. He had a body that he could get into doors that were locked, and yet they could touch him. I don't know. I don't understand that. I got this finite mind that just doesn't grasp all sorts of things. I don't even understand MC squared or whatever that equals, whatever M equals MC, I, E equals M. Whatever it is, I don't get it. If I can't get that, I'm sure not going to understand infinity and an immortal and imperial. I don't get it. All I know is I get God and I trust God. That's what I know. That's what I know. And so we need to step back and understand we are in the last days. The trumpet will sound. There will be a day. I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime. I don't know. You know, everybody keeps saying, well, we've got wars and rumors of wars, and we've got famines and tsunamis, and I don't know. I mean, I look through history, and I'm going to tell you something. They've had all those things for a long time. You know, what was it, Pompeii? You just go on. I mean, it's nothing new. I think the scripture says there's nothing new under the sun, as a matter of fact. All this stuff just keeps happening. I can tell you, I didn't put the scripture, but I can tell you why Jesus waits, why God is waiting. He tells us in the scripture he's waiting for this so that none should perish. What God is waiting for, it may be just you. Maybe you haven't crossed that line yet. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet. Maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your father, maybe it's your brother, your sister, maybe it's your spouse. I don't know who it may be, but God is waiting so that nobody has to go to hell. Don't you like the way I said that? That's what God's waiting on. I'm looking forward to my Easter message, how to miss heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You got to work hard to miss heaven, okay? And we're going to talk about, we're going to have a great time as we look at how do you get there? And we're going to enjoy that. You've got to cross that line. You've got to make that decision. You got to see what God has to say about it. But there will be a day. There will be a day. I don't know when. And anybody want to tell me when? And I got books at home that want to tell me. I got a book at home that's 35 foot long with a chart. Everything all worked out. You know, it's got all these ups and downs and all sorts of things all scheduled out. I read a book when I was a kid, just became a Christian. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth. He had a chart in it. I just read a book somebody loaned me as I was working on the message on the sermon series here. Got a book out, and I was looking at the book. Good, all sorts of good stuff in the front. Then at the back, he's got all these charts again. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand all of it. All I know is God's in control, and I'm going to trust him. He's done a good job so far. If we just quit messing it up, we'd be okay. See, God is there. There will be a day when the Lord comes. Look at the scripture. The day of the Lord's return will surprise us like a thief. I often wondered, why would he use the term thief? I mean, that's a negative term. I don't know about you, but I don't like thieves. Anybody like thieves? You know? Why would he use that term? The heavens will disappear with a loud noise, and the heat will melt the whole universe. Then the earth and everything in it will be seen for what you are. He's saying there's going to be a day, it's going to come like a thief, when who people really are will be seen. What is really true will be known. The facts will be out. There will be a day when that trumpet sounds, when everything is here, and it's going to come like a thief. And I've often wondered, why would he use thief? And I started thinking about it this way. Does anybody know when the thief is going to strike? Do you know when that thief is going to come? We don't know. But so what do you do? If you don't know when the thief is going to come, you don't know when that thief is going to attack, you don't know when they're going to move in and steal and kill and destroy, you don't know when any of that's going to happen. So what do we do? I'm going to ask you, how many people locked their house before you left this morning? Some of you didn't lock your house. How many parked their car out in front of this parking lot here and locked their car? Why did you lock it? You were afraid somebody would steal it. So you prepared. You in advance got ready so that thief wouldn't have a chance to hit you. I think God uses the word thief here because he's saying, get prepared. Get ready. You don't know when the thief is going to come, but you make sure you're ready. I mean, I locked the house. I locked my car. We hide things under the seats, put things in the trunk. We don't want people to get them, right? We do it because we want to protect that stuff. What he's saying here, what I see him saying in this thing is this, in the scripture here, is listen, prepare yourself for my return. Get ready. You don't know when it's going to be, but get ready. Are we ready? Are you ready? I mean, if that trumpet was to sound right now, I'm going to go toot, 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 but I didn't. If that trumpet was to sound right now, I mean right now, are you ready? Would he say, get up, you're going up? Or would he say, get up? Well, stay down, because that's where you're going. Are you ready? See, someday that's going to happen. Someday we're going to have to come to that point where we have to decide it's going to come. And I don't know. My thing is, I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime, but this is what I do know. I do know I could walk out of this building and get hit by a car. I do know I could be flying down the freeway. It's driving down the freeway. I could be driving down the freeway and get wiped out by a car. Stuff happens. Are you ready? See, I might not experience the second coming. I might die before that happens. I don't know, but I want to be ready. So if you look at your next point, this is what I say. I'm ready for Jesus' return. I'm ready. I've made that decision when I was 17 years old to say, you know what? I'm going to do things God's way. I'm tired of doing it my way. I had messed my life. I don't know about you, but I had messed my life up pretty good by the time I was 17 years old. Anybody else? By the time I reached 17, I had done a pretty good job of being in the wrong place at the right time. Anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I needed some help. And so at 17 years old, I made a decision. I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm going to do them yours. I got ready at 17. I'm not changing. That's why I love that song. I've decided to follow Jesus. I don't care if anybody goes with me. I'm going with Jesus. That's it. Because when he comes back, guess what? I want to go with him. Are you ready for his return? I think that's a challenge that we need to cross this bridge. See, when we're a Christian, when you've made that decision, you know what? I have hope. I don't like doing funerals. Funerals are hard. But you know, there were some funerals that I don't mind doing because I know where they're at. When my grandmother passed away, my pastor, been her pastor for years, and he was my pastor when I became a Christian, pastor my wife since she was 6 years old. He was going to do the service, and he got sick, and I was going to help. I was going to do just a little part, and he got sick, and he couldn't do the service. So I get to do my grandmother's service. I was excited. I was thrilled to do my grandmother's service because I knew where my grandmother was, and I get to stand up there in front of my aunts and uncles and my cousins and my mom and my dad who aren't where they should be and tell them they need to get right. Quote Timothy that says, I honor that faith that was found in your mother and your grandmother. And I talked about, because what was so interesting to me, I'm standing there doing the service, I'm looking out to the people that were there, and my cousins were there. And my cousins are the ones that got me in church. And my cousins are active in their churches. They're taking part in their churches. And all my cousins are sitting there. And some of our parents of the cousins that are sitting there weren't in church. I'm reading that verse. It says, and I said, the grandkids are doing it. What about the kids? Are we ready? Am I ready? I think we need to cross that bridge. You need to think about that. I don't care how old you are. You know, 17 years old gets killed by cars too. Things happen. I was watching the news yesterday morning. Some guy, I guess, plowed into a car and killed three people up in Sacramento. Watching the news this morning. Watching the little spark stroll across the bottom. And I'm watching. Lady killed in a house fire. I mean, they had like four or five people die last night around the Sacramento area. Stuff happens. It might not be the return of Christ that you got to worry about. It might be that stupid driver out there like Gary that flies down the freeway. Yeah. Are you ready? Yeah. I'm ready. I've made that decision. Have you made that decision? Look what the scripture says. When the end comes, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. Oh, I love this passage. Let me kind of set this up for you. Jesus is telling a parable, okay? A parable is an illustration. I want to make sure you understand. A parable has one point, all right? People read parables and they try to make them allegories. Each thing meant something, like the bridesmaid meant this and the bride and the groom. And they try to outline it that way. That's not what this is. A parable is one single point. So as I read this, I want you to find the point with me. When the end comes, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids. They took their oil lamps and went to meet the groom. Now, here's the wedding in those days. Let me kind of give you, again, a picture as you begin this parable here. They're having a wedding party. And a wedding wasn't like us, one-day thing, big-time show. No, this was like a week-long event, all right? This was a major event. Everybody, all the families, everybody's involved. It's a week-long party, but not party like we do today. It's a different kind of party, okay? Don't get confused, all right? It's not like the party some of you guys go to. All right. So they're having a party. All right. It's a week-long party. And they got their lamps and they're going to the party. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish bridesmaids took their lamps, but they didn't take any extra oil. The wise bridesmaids, however, took along extra oil for their lamps. Since the groom was late, ladies, does that sound interesting to you? All the bridesmaids became drowsy and fell asleep. Yeah. At midnight, someone shouted, "The groom is here. Come to meet him." Then all the bridesmaids woke up and got their lamps ready. They had to get ready. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." But the wise bridesmaids replied, "We can't do that. There won't be enough for both of us. Go find someone to sell you some oil." While they were buying oil, the groom arrived. The bridesmaids who were ready went with him into the wedding hall, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids arrived and said, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But he answered them, "I don't even know who you are. So stay awake, because you don't know the day or the hour." What's his point? His point is, you better get ready now, because you ain't no second chance. All right? Here's what I want to make sure you understand, and I'm going to beat this into you this morning. I wish I had a bigger Bible. If you ain't ready when he comes, you ain't getting a second chance. There ain't something like, "Oh, here we come, and here he is. Oh, you're not ready yet? Okay, get 5 minutes. Go take care of your business." Ain't going to happen. When that trumpet sounds and the shout says, "Get up," it's over. Does that make sense? You know, five of these people said, "We're going to be ready. We got everything in order. We're ready." The other five says, "We'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'll do good works. I'll be a nice person. I'll try to do everything right. My parents were Christians. My grandmother was a Christian. I'm going to slip in on their coattail. I'm going to slide in with them." Either you're in or you're out when that trumpet sounds. You know, I hear people say, "Well, you're going to get a second chance, and we'll have to wait and see." I'm going to tell you, I'm not waiting and seeing. I remember one time I was at a used car lot and talking with a guy, and we got on religion. And I told him, "I can guarantee you going to heaven. I can. I can guarantee it." He says, "I ought to be a used car salesman." Because I said, "All you got to do is what it says here in this book. That's it. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life, take control. And then live for Jesus." That's it. Guaranteed. You know, I know I'm going to heaven because at 17 years old, I made that decision. Not because Gary's a good guy, though I think I am. Not because Gary's a preacher. Some of you think I'm a creature, but yeah, I'm a preacher. You know, that's not going to get me to heaven. I made a decision at 17 years old. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. See, we have to make that decision. We don't know when. I like it. Stay awake, because you don't know the day or the hour. I think it's so surprising as I read God's word how many times it says, "No one knows. You don't know. It's going to be like a thief. We don't know. We don't know." And somebody comes along and says, "He's coming December 21st, 2012. Duh, you're an idiot. No one knows. Just get ready. My grandma used to talk about, my uncle's sowing his wild oats. He just needed some more time. Well, I don't know how much time you're going to need, because you might not have it. Like I said this morning, I'm going to try to scare the hell out of you. I don't want you to go there. I want you to make heaven and miss hell and not miss heaven. Because someday this world will end. And maybe it might not be the world, and it might be your life. And I don't want to stand before God and God says, "Gary, why didn't you tell him?" I told you, okay? I got news for you. You know, if you don't know Jesus and you go stand before God, you're not going to be able to sit there and say, "God, I didn't know." God's going to say, "Hey, you know, back in March the 7th? Is that what today is? Back on March the 7th, 2010, you said in a church service, and that preacher was crazy, but he told you, you better turn your life over to Jesus." You're not going to have an excuse, okay? You can't say, "I didn't know, I didn't understand, I made it plain." You have to make a decision. Are you wise? Are you one of the five that's unwise? I was going to say they're blonde, but I was afraid to do that, all right? I was going to say they were cheerleaders, but I didn't want to go there either. You know, they were just not wise, all right? You know, I don't know. I'm going to ask you, are you wise enough to see the truth? Are you wise enough to understand? I think we need to stop and get ready. I think we need to prepare ourselves. We need to get ourselves in line and in order. Because I'm going to tell you, someday that trumpet will sound, and it might not be the trumpet for the world, it might be the trumpet for your life. And are you ready? Are you wise enough to see? You know, I thought it's great. He didn't say wise enough to understand the times and the hours and the minutes, all the prophecies. He didn't say that. Are you wise enough to know that someday it's going to end? Are you ready for it? Look at the next scripture. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know. Man, it keeps coming back to you don't know. You do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known of what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them of their food at the proper time? It will be the good servant that the servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Kind of complicated, but let me summarize that passage. When the trumpet sounds, will you be busy with what God asks you to do? That's what that passage says. Now I want to make this real simple. You know, does this mean I'm going to get ready for Jesus coming? I'm going to go get me a white gown. I'm going to go up to Oregon, and I'm going to sit on this mountaintop and wait till Jesus comes. Is that what I'm supposed to do? No. That's not what it means to be ready. Be ready says, wherever God has placed you, go about what God has called you to do. This is one of my frustrations. To be ready for God means, you know what? I got to be in church every minute of every day. That's what I've got to do. Just in case Jesus comes, I want to be in church. Is that what it's talking about? No. The Great Commission says it this way. As you go, be a witness. Just summarize it for you. As you go. Here's what it says, and here's what you need to understand. Wherever you are, whether it's in your home, at work, in your family, I don't care where it's at, shopping, you need to be living for God. That's it. It doesn't matter. Wherever you're at, in the business world that you're at, you represent God. When you're a child of God, it says, do your work as unto God. When you're at the store, at the bank, and you're dealing with a cashier or a waitress, how you treat them should be how you think God would want them treated. That's what this is saying. See, getting ready means I need to acknowledge that my life is in God's hand and I'm going to serve God whatever I do. I was visiting when I went back to do the funeral for my uncle, for Laura's uncle. I had a master's degree. I was working on my doctorate degree. And I was shoveling horse manure to pay for it. That was fun. It's like, I'd be out there sometimes, what good's this degree? Sitting there shoveling horse. Never mind. When I was working on my master's degree, I was a janitor in an office building that had just one building had 10 bathrooms. You know what I cleaned it with? He gave me Comet. Throw Comet in there, rub the brush around, and you're done. Some of you ladies are going, he's crazy. That's what the boss told me to do. That's all I did. I had my BA. I have a college degree, and I'm scrubbing toilets. But you know what? I was doing all of that so that I could do other things to serve God. And I did that unto God. I was giving Barbara back there at the funeral a bad time because the other guy, they had a guy now doing my job. I said, he stole my job. He went out there while we were there and moved the horse manure around and stuff. I was giving him a bad time for stealing my job. Whatever you do, this is the thing I think people get confused. Getting ready for God doesn't mean, well, I just got to sit at the table and read my Bible 24/7. Now, you need to read your Bible, all right? You need to go home. I'll give you some more homework. Go home and read. Here's some chapters. Go home and read Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, all right? You want to know more about the second coming and the parables? He tells some parables, and he paints some pictures for you. Matthew 24 and 25. And then slide over to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, about, another book over, and read Mark chapter 13. All right? kind of give you a picture about the end time and what's going on and judgment. And we're going to kind of, I'm going to get into some of these in the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, okay? So you might want to go ahead and read ahead. You do need to read your Bible, but it's not going to 24/7. That's not what God is talking about. Here's what I think the challenge is. I don't know about you, but here's my challenge. You know, I've read the Bible cover to cover several times. You know, I read the Bible all the time. That's not my, you know, my trouble is not reading the Bible. You know where my trouble comes? Trying to do what the Bible says. I don't know about you, but that's the hard part. You know, it's like I got to get out and go deal with some people in the world that, never mind, I don't want to talk about them. You know, I mean, anybody in that boat, you know, you got people that get on your nerves and jobs that you hate and do things you don't want to do. We all have that. But how I approach those, that's what I like that word servant in that. Because I'm serving God wherever I'm at. Whatever I do, I'm serving God. And so don't get confused about getting ready for God. You got to go get you a white gown, you know, go to Target, buy a white gown, or go stay at some hotel and steal their white robe. Don't do that either, you know. And then go sit on some hill and wait for them. You know, what was that movie? Give me a minute. Independence Day. Anybody seen Independence Day? They're all on top of that building. Hey! Yelling and screaming with their signs. Anybody remember that movie? What happened to them? They were annihilated, boy. Yeah. That's not what God wants, all right? Don't go sit on some top of some building. Don't go to some mountain. Wherever God has put you, do the best you can to love God and love others. That's it. I mean, to me, being a Christian is so easy. It's not complicated. Love God, love others. I got that. That's it. Wherever I'm at, whether I'm a teller, or I'm dealing with a waitress, or I'm at the bank, whatever, just treat others. Are you ready? See, are you ready? That's what I want to challenge us with. We don't know when. The trumpet of our life may end and we may hear it because we die. The trumpet may sound because the world is done, it's over, it's folded up, God is taking it away. Someday, one of two things is going to happen. You know, we're getting close to April 15th. You know, there's two things that happen in life, right? Taxes and, okay, you got your choice, all right? Taxes and death. One day that's going to happen. Are you ready? I'm not talking about getting the will all set up, you know, having your final arrangements all made. Are you ready for God to shout, get up, you're coming up? Are you ready? To hear God shout, get up, you're coming up. Get up, it's time to go up. Are you ready? See, we have a decision to make. Look at that last scripture I have down there. This is what the Lord said. Stand at the crossroads and look. You're at the crossroads now. Look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. You have a decision to make. Here's the path. What's your decision? And you will find rest for your souls. Bet you said, we will not walk in it. Is anybody going to say that this morning? Are you willing to sit here this morning and say, you know what? I heard Gary preach and he's crazy and I know he's, you know, he does all sorts of crazy ideas, does all sorts of dumb things. I've sat there and I heard him preach, but you know what? I'm going to do life my way. I don't care what God says. I want to go to hell. That's what you say. That's what you're saying. You're saying, God, I'm at the crossroads today, God, and I'm choosing the path that leads to hell. Is that your choice? When I was 17, I chose this path. I want to go to heaven. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. God, I want to live for you. I'm going to tell you something. I have never once, for one minute, regretted that decision. I have had a life that I have absolutely enjoyed. I am excited about what's happening, what's next, and where I'm going. It is fun. Now, does that mean I never have trouble? Some of you know my life. I am troubled, okay? That's life. But you know what? In the midst of my trouble, I ain't alone because God's with me. Excuse my grammar. But God's with me. You know what? I don't have to go through anything by myself. God's blessed me with a wife, a family, great kids, grandkids, even better. It is great. It is enjoyable. It is a blessing. I'm going to ask you, you're at a crossroads. What's your decision? Are you ready? Let me tell you some other things that make sure you get a clear picture here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says this. Not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but him who does the will of my Father. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, well, I know who God is. I believe in God. You know, I never doubted God. I never doubted there was a God. Never doubted about Jesus. Never doubted the Bible was God's. I never had those questions, but I was going to do life my way. And that verse tells me this, not all who say, Lord, Lord, but only him who does the will of my Father in heaven. I got to do what he says. The devil believes and trembles, the scripture says. I want to ask you, are you willing to cross the line? So my first thing this morning is this. If you don't know him and you haven't crossed that line, do you need to today? You're at a crossroads. You have a decision to make. I can't make it for you. We can get all caught up and you can look forward to 2012 and all that kind of hype. Or you can sit there today and make a decision. Maybe you made that decision. I want to ask you this. Are you serving me? Are you too busy with the worldly life and the worldly things? Too caught up in the things? I shared in another sermon a few weeks ago. I think our greatest idol, our greatest attack from Satan today is this right here. It's not sin. It's not cussing. It's not drinking. I think the greatest thing we have to fight today is called comfort. Comfort. We want to be comfortable. That's out of my comfort zone. And I think as Christians, that's the battle. Most of us aren't going to mess with all that other trash. But we want to be comfortable. I've got to do this because it's comfortable. I want to do this because it's comfortable. I want to challenge you. Maybe you cross that line. Are you serving him? I'm not asking you, are you reading your Bible 24/7? That's not what I said. I'm not asking, are you praying 24/7, crawling around on your knees? You got blisters on your knees or whatever you call them. I'm saying, have you reached a point in your life where you say, I'm going to serve God. I'm going that way no matter what. No matter what it is. No matter where it leads. Will you serve him? See, you're at a crossroads today. At the bottom of the page, I put it this way. I'm ready for the end of the world. Now that's me. Can you read that? Read that for yourself and say, that's you? If you're not, will you make it right today? The world will end. Anybody wants to tell you a date, you look at them and say, hey, you're a fool. I'm serious. Anybody, well, it's going to be that. Yeah, tell me all about it, you idiot. They don't get it. Nobody knows. But the one thing we do know is it will end. And the one thing I know when I read the last of this book, you like that little cartoon. Anybody, you got your worship folder? Anybody got their worship folder? You look at that little cartoon? Look at the cartoon there in that worship folder. What's that little boy say? I went to the end, and guess what? We win. You read the book of Revelation. You might not understand it. I tell you, I read it, and I don't understand it. But the one thing I know is I'm on the winning team. Are you on the winning team? Are you ready? Let's pray.